Blog Talk Radio.
Survival in times of great disasters. We are a private think tank of the most elite thinkers on the end times ever. Welcome to the Watchers Prophecy Radio Network. You are definitely tuned into the real thing. Greetings. I'm Mars. I am host of the Watchers Prophecy Network. With me is my wonderful co-host, Lady Deanna. And we are about to rock your brain today. Got wonderful guests on today. Little Lady Deanna, how are you?
Doing great, Mars.
We're going to attempt to see which one of these callers is Mr. Stan. We're about to release the mic to him and let him get on the air. Got a very serious show today. This is the final countdown. It is underway. We all know it. It's with Obama's little speech on TV about Syria. We are so close now to the big showdown with Russia over Syria, folks. You cannot miss this. Got switchboard open, and we're going to start pushing some buttons here, see what's going on. Hopefully this 913 caller is the correct caller. So Let's stick on the 913 caller and hope this is Mr. Deo. Hello, 913. Okay, obviously not. It's all right. We are still waiting on Mr. Stan. That's fine. He should be with us shortly. He does have us booked, and hopefully I'll have him on very, very shortly. Let's get right with this. How many people believe that the end of days is rapidly approaching? Does anybody here really believe that? Do we see it in our supermarkets with the inflation? Do we see it in the new laws, NDAA, and all these other things that are being passed? Do we see it by the things that we see on Facebook, this Marine being arrested, no such thing as having freedom of speech anymore? What exactly are we seeing right now?
Are you talking to me?
Absolutely.
I'm seeing two callers, one that wants to listen, and a fellow that wants to talk to Stan. I don't have Stan yet.
Okay. I see the caller from 225. I do not know if the caller from 225, is that Stan?
No. He wants
okay.
to talk to
and
Stan.
Okay, and the caller from 913?
What, just wants to listen to the show. It's Alex.
Okay, no problem whatsoever. Going to continue right on here. He should be calling up in the next few minutes. He does have us booked. It's on his website, so hopefully he'll show up. This is going to be absolutely dynamite if he does. Got a lot of people expecting this.
Yeah, you got a lot of people logged in here, but not on the call yet.
We definitely know that things are changing in the world right now. We are seeing more rumors fly around than we have ever seen in our life. It is absolutely bizarre. I can't even tell you. I have seen posts that are so untrue in the last day or two, as well as real breaking news, particularly out of the U.S. Navy's website and many others, concerning troop movements, fleet movements in the Middle East that are absolutely unbelievable. We've got U.S. C-130 transports standing by in the Middle East in their air bases to fly into Syria. U.S. elite units, especially trained in combat against chemical and biological weapons, ready in Saudi Arabia. These guys are trained with the most technical know-how to go seize weapons of mass destruction. They are ready. Obama's got everything lined up to push the button. He has got hawks in his office that are telling him he's got to do this right now. He's got the Israeli lobby knocking on the White House door 24/7, day and night. You better go do something really, really quick to help us. They are literally scared to death. They've issued gas masks all over Tel Aviv now. These people are ready to go secure this biological weapons arsenal. Western intelligence sources reported Thursday, August 23rd, that these units are on standby at bases even in Israel and Jordan. Their assignments are to engage Syrian troops. Engage Syrian troops. This defies directly what Putin said. Putin said, if you invade in any way, we will invade. Now, folks, all I can tell you is that is really, really bad news. Just letting you know, We're going to continue to have a show. We do believe that Stan Dale will be here today. It is on a site. Unforeseen circumstances can always exist. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. If you go to Stan Dale's personal website, you can see we are booked. We're still awaiting him to show up. You still don't have any word on him, Lady Deanna?
Nothing. No, I don't. Sorry.
Well, then, we shall endeavor to continue until he gets here. We've got a pretty long show, 90 minutes here to fill, and we are definitely ready to fill it. Syria right now has reported, I don't know if you heard this, Diana, they are attempting to move these unconventional weapons systems to their missile launch sites. And Israeli Mossad has reported this over the last 3 weeks. They were getting ready to do that. Suddenly Obama comes on TV and he says, oh, look, they are, that's our red line in the sand. Don't dare cross that red line. And it's so amazing because Obama's only made 3 total foreign policy appearances whatsoever. He's the kind of person that will just pop in there, say a little bit, and then pop back out. Later, his plans are to say, well, you were warned, you were told, you know, now suddenly we're in Syria, we're knee-deep in this. It's no longer a proxy war between U.S. and Russia. It is now full-blown. So we see this definitely coming. We know the Antichrist is right on the horizon. Right on the horizon, because we know that he's the one that jumps up and stops this nuclear war halfway through.
Well, everything that I've heard is that he made that line in the sand after the WMDs or the missiles had already been moved.
Well, that's true. See, this is an after-fact deal. It is a wool-over-your-eyes type thing like George Bush pulled in Iraq. You're about to see it because they already know these things have been moved. The Free Syrian Army currently controls 2/3 of Syria. Assad only controls about 1/3 of his own country. It's absolutely unbelievable.
But it happens
over 1,300 attempts to turn around and say, if I feel trapped, I'm going to fire my missiles. Well, we already know last week Russians disembarked about 300 of their most elite Marines off ships there in the Port of Tartus, and they had a little Russian convoy went all the way through Syria. To my knowledge, no shots were fired. They made it all the way to the palace there in Damascus, and they are currently, the Russians currently have the palace surrounded because Assad is so terrified. About 3 weeks ago, there was such fighting in Damascus that Assad could literally hear the gunshots out the window. We know it's close.
Hello there. This is Lady D.
I think you're on the air. Your button didn't push, Diana.
Sorry.
We are absolutely in the end days, folks. If you can't wake up and smell the coffee now with Obama's little message on Syria, and you know, we've been preaching this for months. We've told everybody this was coming. I've said it the last 10 shows. I'm going to say it one more time just to keep the tradition going. There are more ships right now within 200 miles of the coast of Syria than was times two at the Battle of Midway. More than one half of the world's nuclear firepower right off the coast of Syria. And we're not serious? Better understand.
Stan is here now.
We absolutely know that there are so many events occurring. occurring elsewhere. A lot of people say, well, what about peace deal that has to happen 7 years that made with many that's going to get broken halfway through? That's got to happen first. Well, let me tell you this. Y'all got to look it up, see if I'm wrong or see if I'm right. But I'm going to tell you, you know that deal that was made with Egypt back when Mubarak was president of Egypt has now ended. The new Muslim Brotherhood leader has rode about 60 tanks up into Sinai. That ended, by the way, 3 years, 4 months, and 8 days into it. It was signed on in the UN by over 112 nations. Now, you can say that's the deal or not, but that's actually going on. There is nothing left. Great news from the north and east will probably be Iran jumping up and going, oh, look, we got the bomb. I don't know. We don't know what that news is. Could be China saying we're not going to get involved, which the Bible says they don't. They probably will get involved and do some things while the Gog War is going on. They'll probably jump in there and take Taiwan and do anything else that they want to do while we're all busy with Russia. But supposedly they're around for the Battle of Armageddon, which means they don't get involved. We know in the Valley of Jezreel, when the Russians come down with many to attack Israel, get their great spoils, that Israel nukes them right there in the Valley of Jezreel. Their bones will sit there the entire tribulation. Nobody's able to go in there and even check on their bones. They'll have to hire outside experts from all over the world just to come in and be able to bury the dead. It says the birds will have a feast. We have now seen in the north of Israel a unique event in the last 3 years. More birds, even birds that do not even belong in Israel, that have never been there ever, have flown in into Israel awaiting this feast. It is unreal. A bird was that there are literally thousands of species that don't even belong in the Middle East there, just like what was said in the Bible. So we know this is going down soon. Even the birds know it, the bees know it, and you sure better know it. We are not that far away. Okay, I see Stan is on. Let me make sure that that's correct.
That is correct.
Mr. Stan Deo, it is a absolute one-of-a-kind honor. I am so privileged that you are here. You are live on the mic, and we absolutely love it. We have waited for you forever, and we are absolutely thrilled. Welcome, Mr. Sandeo, to the Watchers Prophecy News. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mars. Gee, why wasn't I told we were waiting? Goodness gracious. I'd have signed up before.
Well, sir, I sent you that email and told you in about 5 minutes because me and Diane always have to have our little rant, and I'm always a little rude, and I've got to get my little opening thing going or I'm not real happy.
That's fine. So what
Mr.
are you talking about
what
today?
I wanted to talk about today with you and discuss at least some length is this war going on in Syria. What you see that is really going on to wake people up, the event of the Antichrist that we know is very soon now, and the things that are about to happen in our nation as a result thereof. Give us a heads up. Let us know what's going on. You've got the mic, and you are full-blown.
Okay, so I do all this in the next minute or two, is that right?
Well, you've got 90 minutes.
Okay. Well, first thing, the war in Syria is a civil war, but it has great potential for escalating into a war with Israel. Israel is, as you know, a very kind of unique nation, a very small nation, but it's got so many people aiming their weapons at it that It's kind of like, you know, a Charlton Heston movie where the enemy are surrounding you with pitchforks and you've got rocks, you know. I mean, it's a terrible situation. Now, Syria is important because they can access the Golan Heights and drop missiles over into Israel, whether they be nuclear, conventional, or biowarfare weapons, before Israel can stop them once they're airborne. So at least
that's awful, because we see their warplanes right now bombing their own cities, killing their own people, even bombing their own hospitals. So we know it's absolutely terribly serious.
Well, I'm wondering that, about the scripture that says that that Damascus had become will become a ruinous heap overnight, and it doesn't say that someone's going to attack it per se, although it could happen. But with their internal problems, I'm wondering if they aren't going to set off a nuke that they've stored there or gotten from the Russians or the Iranians or something, and destroy Damascus in this civil war they've got.
That's entirely true. I mean, a lot of people don't know the McCain bill was passed and signed under the cover of darkness. We're supplying weapons through Saudi Arabia to them, including advanced anti-tank weapons, right out of Syria into the rebels' hands, and whatever faction of rebels that we want to support on whatever day that their ideology matches the CIA's. So we know it's really terrible.
Well, the tanks that we're supplying really are quite advanced. They can lock on a target and shoot a missile while they're running at 45 miles an hour over rough terrain, and they can shoot from further away than most of the enemy tanks in that area. So that will give them an advantage, but whether they've got access to nukes through the Saudi connection, I'm not sure. It wouldn't surprise me, but something could go wrong with this kind of warfare, especially when it's a civil war. You just don't know which side knows who to trust, you know, as agents of the other side. So it could really precipitate a serious situation there.
Well, we've heard they've got Stinger missiles now, too. We know that there are over 100 factions to the Free Syrian Army, including the second largest faction of the Muslim Brotherhood. We know Al-Qaeda has a faction. There are even two United States factions, private industrial military complex companies like Trident Security there, that are waging their own personal war against Assad with the help of the CIA. So it is a very complicated mess.
It really is. And if you'll recall, Saddam dumped a lot of his weapons of mass destruction across into Syria to get him out of the country in the early part of Gulf War I.
We definitely know that's true, and so does everybody else. We definitely know that's true. Mr. Dale, explain to us why currently that Assad has not made even more threats against Israel and NATO targets in Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait City, all these other places, when he's already made so many so far, over 1,300 on his own national radio and TV. There's not much of that left. And we really don't understand. What's his red line? Being trapped?
I think at this point that's probably the bottom line, because he's seen what happened in Libya and in Egypt, and he's probably thinking that he's next, and with the United States, CIA, and the private forces being able to supporting the issue and supplying stuff to Saudi Arabia to do it, all of this tells him his days are numbered and they're going to take him out. I don't think that he has the technology and the weapons and support of his people to go ahead and attack Israel right now. I really think the main danger will come from Iran in that issue. But there are other Middle East countries that need to be banded together, and that's what Ahmadinejad is trying to do long term, is to form a new Middle Eastern Arab Union to fight and destroy Israel and rapidly.
That sounds like the kings of the north and the south coming together. We already see how Egypt and Iran now are all of a sudden, in the last 5 days, super buddy-buddy. That's really scary. Mr. Dale, what do you see concerning the Russians in this? Because on the podium last month, the head UN peacekeeper got up there and said the United States and Russia were in a state of war in Syria. Now, he didn't, very interestingly, he didn't say proxy war, although everybody was shaking their head. Leonov and Clinton were both there. Leonov actually got up and walked out. What do you see Russia's role in this right now?
I think Russia is being pulled into the fight, honoring agreements they've made with Syria and Iran and perhaps some other countries in the Middle East. They have to honor these commitments with respect to their oil and fuel exchanges with the Middle Eastern countries. A lot of the Russian oil is high in paraffin content, which makes it more expensive to refine. So they want Iranian oil. They want Saudi oil eventually. But the United States and Russia have been in a state of Cold War, really, for quite some time, a competition, even though we, on the surface, have joint space missions and various other things and allow Russian troops on American soil to inspect our bases and that kind of stuff. The problem in the Middle East with Russia is that to honor the treaties they have with these Middle Eastern oil suppliers, they're going to have to come down to their defense, especially if they move onward from Syria into attacking Israel. This means that America will have to honor its commitments and strike back at Russia, which means that Russia is going to poke a stick in the eye of the U.S. dragon and doesn't want to wake it up in their direction. However, that's going to happen. So they're going to probably make...
Does that mean that you feel that Russia will preemptively hit us, maybe lob one on London, maybe lob several at us? You know, we've seen recently the event of both Bear and Backfire bombers in our airspace, the fact that F-18, F-16 jets have had to go get them and turn them around. We've also seen the advent of Alcoa nuclear submarines with standoff missiles aboard that in our own Gulf of Mexico being tracked all the way up to Maine coast. Do you see these things as forerunners or... because Obama does not have the same policy as Bush, Mr. Dale. He's changed his policy. That first strike policy no longer exists. Russia still has it.
Well, look, I agree with you. The arrival of so many of the military machines of Russia near our shores and overhead is indicative of them getting ready. They're testing our defenses, which are not up to strength and are getting weaker all the time with Obama cutting back the military spending. Now, if Russia does not want to be seen as provoking or preempting the U.S. presence in the Middle East, they could supply Hezbollah or some terrorist organization EMP devices that they could launch from international waters, take the blame for it, and then when America's in chaos, Russia can step in, you know, to help their American brothers, but really to invade the country. That way they keep a clean slate with the United Nations and the other countries that support the United Nations.
Holy cow, did y'all hear that right out of Mr. Sandeo's lips? This is a scenario we haven't even counted on. You better listen to him real close. This man is a world-renowned expert. We are so honored to have you on our show, sir. Please continue. We know that Russia's knee-deep in this. And they are the dirty, rotten little boy. Yeah, you know how it was on the mini movies where the two big boys on the block have to wind up getting together, finally having to slug it out. I believe this is very near.
Well, Israel, the people of Israel, rather than the rabbis who have gone really silly, 600 of them supporting the current U.S. administration. But the other thing, the leaders and the people, grassroots people in Israel know that they cannot by themselves defend against a Russian-backed cartel of Arab nations. Now, they also hope and pray that the United States will somehow come to their defense, supply weapons or whatever, to help them against a Russian presence in the Middle East when the fighting starts. In the end, I think what will happen is that America will fail Israel, Russia will attack, and God will step in. There will be something miraculous happen that kills the army of the Russian invaders in the hills of northern Israel and down into northern part of Jerusalem, and will destroy them. And this will turn Israel back to their God, and they've been turned away for so long. So I think this is all set up to teach Israel that they are still under the control and protection of God, and they have to understand that. And if you've been to Israel, you can see that there's a dichotomy of opinions on this in the Israeli public.
No, I haven't, but your perspective is just almighty amazing. We are vastly approaching a commercial time. Mr. Dale, if you will please stay with us, you're going to be on right back after the break. We'll have some questions from our co-host, Lady Deanna. Please continue on here with us. This is becoming very fascinating. We're about to get knee-deep in the Antichrist. Many other issues. We're going to have a very, very quick commercial. Have you right back on. We've got a lot of time left all the way until 5 o'clock, and we are absolutely thrilled to death that you're here. Your perspectives are absolutely astounding. Let's go ahead and have a real quick little bitty commercial, and please stay with us, Brother Stan.
All righty, Will.
Shalom.
This whistleblower Michael Prince has stated U.S. intelligence has expected since 1964. Mr. Gibson contends that Common Alanin is a UFO that may be a Nephilim, fallen angel, reptilian, extraterrestrial mothership. He notes that a there's going to be a couple of comments with it. Alanin, Levi, and...
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon.
That sounds cool.
Here you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from.
Wow.
You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours. You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list.
I want to be red.
I want to be blue.
Buy more trains. Get HR 645 passed, but don't pay the Senate too much money. You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are live on the air with our amazing guest, Stan Dale. We've got a lot of questions for Brother Stan. Our co-host even has a question. We're going to go ahead and put Stan right back on the mic. Stan, you're live. Continue letting us know what is going on. What is going on? Are we just about ready for World War III? Is that really on the horizon?
It's on the horizon, but I don't think it's going to start this year. There will certainly be some interesting developments, but the Battle of Armageddon is down the road a bit, in my opinion. The situation worldwide is being accelerated in the press to the point that people are absolutely terrified. You can see that in their buying patterns, and you can see that in the real shortages of food and crops at the moment. The situations are like this. You've got the threat of global economic failure, a global depression worse than we've ever seen on the planet, threats of emerging viruses and diseases that might go pandemic, threat of nuclear war, and I suppose you've got to realize that the climate is going to absolutely rip us a new one for the next few years. And then you've got possibly alien presence here, abducting people and that kind of stuff. There's five of these six curves are really near and present dangers in the mind of the people. The sixth, the UFO alien thing, is kind of in the background, but it's going to come to the forefront, I think, right soon, in the middle of what people think is the end of the world by one of those five crisis curves or more.
I definitely believe that. I can't find in my Bible where the false prophet be a human. I've always believed it's going to be a lot like the Independence Day movie, where you're going to see people standing on the rooftop with signs waving at these suckers right after millions are dead after the ripping nuclear war, the Gog War. Bible says it's going to be, I believe, a fourth of all life. It's going to be absolutely horrific. They're going to send you to a FEMA camp. They're going to decontaminate you. They don't want you in the same line as little Mary Jo and her three little children at the cheese truck. So you're going to have to go through the decontamination process. You're going to get chipped with a new monetary system, we believe. And we believe that this miraculous deception that he stops the war with is from the air. People will believe these things are aliens. What's your take on that? Do you believe that they're aliens or fallen angels?
Well, do I believe that they're extraterrestrial? Yes. Are they from other little worlds somewhere in our solar system or another galaxy or whatever? No. I think they're from a parallel universe and that they have been to and from the Earth many times over the last thousands of years, even 10 to 20,000 years. I think there have been at least one previous civilization on the Earth before the Genesis account of the creation because of a verb, and they used there that the Earth had become waste and void. However, what we're seeing now is the fallen ones, the ones who rebelled against the God of gods, the Elohim in the Old Testament. And these beings have been planning for a long time under the leadership of Lucifer, Satan, to fool the people of Earth in one last great, huge deception into accepting a global rule under the boy they will, or the man that they will appoint, who will be the Antichrist. Now, this has to happen when the people of Earth are ready to accept virtually any solution as long as it brings peace and puts food on the table. That means someone has got to answer these five major crisis curves, even six, counting the alleged alien UFO abductions in the past 50 or 60 years, and sometimes longer cases if you read history. Now, people are going to be driven right to the edge, and they're almost there now, when they don't trust any government, any leaders. They have no faith that mankind can save itself or any portions of mankind, and they're crying out for someone, please solve the problem, a lot of which has been engineered to this point, a little bit early. So now, In the 2010 edition of my book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, the last edition I'm going to do, the final edition, I put in a short chapter at the end about the great deception that is coming. And I put eight verses from the book of Daniel in that chapter, and I spend a lot of time on those eight verses and show you in Hebrew and English and Arabic and Chaldean what those eight verses really said and what has been hidden from us for all these generations until now, at the time of the end. Those verses are Daniel 2, 41 through 44, and Daniel 11, 36 through 39. Now, those things tell about an alien super being posing as God, Agoth, who will come to Earth and who will deal with the leader of mankind at that time and will give him technologies and powers that he will, in exchange for giving the leader of this, you know, alien group or the satanic fallen ones, in exchange for giving them nations of people, lands and people in exchange. Now, There are 10 regions on the planet. They were chosen back before 1978 in the Club of Rome document. And those 10 regions, you know, North America and Canada are one, South America, Mexico are another, you know, the Soviet Union is another, China is another. All these are in the book on page 200 on the Cosmic Conspiracy. Now, I've had that information up there for over 35 years, warning people this is the 10 nations, 10 global kingdoms that are going to be set up under the new Antichrist that's coming. In part of what I translated in those 8 verses, and it took me 3 months because I had to research some historic events and other things in the Middle East to understand some of the words that Daniel used, in that it talks about how Satan, who will be posing as a little g god, puts himself above God of gods, the desire of women, and every other god. And this is a phrase that has been horribly misunderstood for generations, for thousands of years.
Oh, we certainly want to hear this.
All right, have we got time for a commercial?
We're not even anywhere near commercial time, so
okay,
you can
good.
Continue to run, Stan.
Okay. Now, Daniel's book was sealed by God until the end time, until portions of it would become opened up to various people. And certainly the 70 weeks, the 69 weeks, and the last week that was not fulfilled, you know, the 70 weeks for Israel, all these things are now being understood by people who have delved into it, like myself, finding various parts to understand and correctly translate in these last days. Now, one phrase I was looking at there is a grammatically correct phrase, but people did not understand what Daniel meant when he coded it, because he wrote it in a manner that if Babylon, Egypt, or anybody else read it, they wouldn't understand it completely. Most people think that Satan is going to put himself above God. Okay, we know God, the supreme God of all gods, but the desire of women, what is he, queer or something like that? You think that's strange. And every other god. Those three objects in that sentence have to be of equal value. So the God of gods have to have an equal value to the desire of women, an equal value to every other god. Now, the desire of women doesn't seem to have anything to do with any kind of god, but yet it does. In Daniel's time, the women of Israel always, it was their desire to be the mother of the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus, right? Yeshua.
Absolutely.
So when you read it properly, translated, that becomes, he puts himself above the God of gods, above the Son of the God of gods, and above every other god. Now, in Hebrew, what it was written in Hebrew, that's three little words. There are two characters each, al, kal, el. And why is this important? Because each one of those words ends in the Hebrew letter lamed, like L. And that L is made by drawing a snake. It's the tallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it is the wisdom character. The ancient Hebrew prophets talk about it being the wisdom character, the keeper of knowledge. And Satan will come posing as an angel of light, a messenger of light, a god, and he is that snake character. And there are three snakes there in that word, al, kal, el, lamed, lamed, lamed. And I'm certain this has something to do with 666, because he's going to make a dark trinity. He's going to base it on giving you knowledge and wisdom, and it's going to be false. What he, you know, even if he gives you 90% truth in what he says and delivers to mankind that time, if 10% of it's a lie and a deception, the whole thing is rotten. Now, he's going to
absolutely rotten to the core. Brother Stan, I've got a question from Lady Deanna, my co-host. Lady Deanna, there you are. You're back on. Lady Deanna,
yeah.
Go ahead and shoot your question to Brother Stan.
I wanted to ask you, Stan, I've been getting a lot of reports from around the country with regard to various sundry airplanes, such as you were speaking of, but especially over, pardon me, Muskogee, Oklahoma. There seems to be some training going on, and it's not real clear at this point if it's our military or not, but it certainly looks like our military. Looks like F-16s, F-17s. practicing refueling in the air. And they're doing this over residential areas between military bases. What do you think is that's about?
Well, it would seem like, for some reason, that they are doing those refueling exercises over populated areas because they have no choice right now than to choose other areas, or they're wanting you to see what they're doing in preparation for very long-range missions. I've gotten reports from people in Oklahoma that the major highway running past Oklahoma City, that there was about a 30-mile stretch where they have recently erected fences on both sides of the highway that are so high and with barbed wire and stuff on it that you cannot get out of your car and get off of the highway there. And they've shielded the population side and then the other side of the road so that if you're on the road and you're at a traffic jam or whatever, you're stuck there unless you can run 30 miles one way or the other. So there's something going on in Oklahoma, and what you're telling me kind of says that there may be a way that they're trying to protect the bases or that they're trying to hem in the population. I'm just not sure, but something...
Well, we definitely know, Bro Stan, that many of these bases can come right back even after they're nuked even. If you look on Fort Hood, for example, on Vent Row, they've got more crated up M60 tanks down there, and you can no more stop an M60 than an Abram. All they'll need is the manpower to roll these things right up out of Vent Row, and boom, Fort Hood is right back there. And we see this all over. I mean, even the chemtrails are telling us things people are not aware. My theory on that even, and I'd love your take on that real quick, is many scientists have now analyzed the composites that are being sprayed. Ionized aluminum and boron and graphite, things of that nature. These are all the same things that are in the rods used to control a nuclear chain reaction in a reactor. My belief is they are spraying these things to over areas they know are going to get nuked to put a layer of boron in the soil so that our soil will miraculously seem to come back to life in a much shorter period of time, thus completing the characteristic of the great deception that the Antichrist will use, being able to get crops to grow in places where they wouldn't normally grow, getting food to the masses when this great calamity has already happened in such a short period of time. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I'm not sure that I agree on that assumption, because the original purpose of the chemtrail spraying at high altitudes with metallic particles, fine particles, was to, first of all, reflect a lot of the incoming solar radiation so that it did not cook the planet inordinately before time. It's been holding back climate change by doing this over certain areas. However, there have been chemtrails that have had chemical, biochemical material in it, which made gels that people have taken, collected on the ground and analyzed. As far as the nuclear radiation absorption, they don't need to worry too much about that if a neutron bomb is used, but I think we're going to have other problems in America in addition to nuclear attacks on our major cities, problems that will alter the climate for a long time, and where crops will grow is anybody's guess, but I don't think it'll be in the traditional areas. The Hopi Indian tell us that they are going to band together with the survivors of a massive, massive, multifaceted civil war in the United States, which will kill many, many people, and also a Russian and Chinese invasion, which will get a lot of the rest. But that after all that's over, that the survivors of that, the original American survivors, will come down, many of them, to join with the Hopi, and they will walk out of the Three Mesas area around the water that will encroach around them by that time up into the Four Corners region of Colorado here. Colorado and Utah, to start a new nation of man, United States, if you wish, but a new nation of man in that area. Now, this does not sound like they're reclaiming area, where we know they're going to be dropping a lot of bombs over production areas.
Okay, I certainly wasn't aware of that. We've got Brett from Texas on the line. He's got a question for you. We're going to go ahead and put him on. Caller from 361, Mr. Brett from Texas, on the line for Mr. Sandeo. Go ahead with your question, sir.
It's Bet. Hey,
Beth.
Stan.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
It's Beth.
Oh, hi,
from
Beth.
Texas. I came in late, and I don't know if you already covered Nibiru, but when you were talking about the fallen ones and the return, I've been watching a lot, seeing a lot of pictures. We don't know what's real, and some of those people, I just can't even hardly stand to listen to them. They get so crazy. But what do you think about Nibiru? Is it out there? Is it headed our way? And who's coming with us?
That's a very good question. It's very timely because it is in the alternate media quite a bit. One of the things that bothers me is that there are a lot of people that see something unusual in the sky, photograph it, and then say, Nibiru. It's here. They're not telling us, blah, blah, blah. Now, when I see information or images or data that is, you know, pretty reliable, very reliable, and I can confirm it, then I start to get, you know, excited on a topic. Now, on my website, in fact, standeo.com, you'll see where we're talking about today's show. It says Stan Guest on Mike Mars Hoffman Show, right? Okay. At the end of that sentence, it'll say show images. On standeo.com, say show images. And if you click on that, it'll take you over to a page where I put up images I want to talk about on the show. And the very first one is about Nibiru and some images that some guy took, a photo, video and photo, of an object that was hiding in the upper left-hand corner, it looked like, of the sun at sunset about April the 10th this year. And he was in Los Angeles, and he took it, and he documented it. So I checked this out, and what he is thinking was, you know, a planet that's, you know, near the sun that they were hiding from us is really the moon. So I prove it by using a program called Stellarium. And I go back to, I put myself in Los Angeles at that date, at that time, at 2:14 in the afternoon, and I look up into the sky with this program, and I look at what's in the sky and where it is. And funny, there's the moon where he thinks it's Nibiru in those photographs. And then, of course, it disappears. They don't see it for a month. Well, of course, it's a periodic thing where the moon can be seen at sunset like that, or near sunset, near the sun. So that's not Nibiru. I want to make that point clear. That's what I've done that site for. However, in my studies of the gravitational fields of the solar system, I found a weaker gravitational force, which allowed me to predict where exact orbits of planets have to be in our solar system to be stable. And one of those orbits is out at 238 times the distance of the Earth from the sun. And that orbit, if there's a planet there, has an orbital period of 3,600 years, plus or minus about 10 years. Now, I couldn't find the planet there, but there is evidence that NASA, NOAA, and a lot of astronomers have been telling us for several years now there is something big out there in our solar system that we can't see that is squashing, perturbing the orbits of Neptune and Uranus and even the protoplanet or the little mini planet Pluto, which is sometimes called a moon now. But those three objects, their orbits have been compressed, and I see that in my equations too. Now, this object is getting close enough to perturb their orbits, but not to, like, make tidal waves and stuff on their planets as far as we can see. So it's something that's hitting their orbit rather than the planet. Now, my new theory of understanding gravity is there are two forces. One gravity like you have around a planet, around mass, it's all concentrated into solid things, and a weaker gravitational force, which spins all these atoms into tight little balls, whether they become planets, moons, stars, or even galactic clusters. Now, that weak force, although it's weak, will change where a planet orbits if you squash that orbit, that invisible orbit. It's like a fluid in space, like a wave, a ripple.
Now, Dr. Stan, I'm not trying to interrupt you, but is our government aware that this is what is affecting us?
Yeah. They're aware. And where, if they have a plot on this object yet, I don't know. I hear reports like you do that are hearsay. But I do know that if that object is there, it'll pass through our inner solar system very rapidly for a planet or a comet or anything else. It'll go into our inner planets, dive around the sun, and go back out within the space of 11 years once it starts. And it may have already started, but we just can't see it because it's maybe only visible from the southern hemisphere, maybe only visible with an infrared camera or telescope, I'm not sure. But there is something that could be long-term upsetting the orbits of the outer planets and now the inner planets as it dives down into the system and swings back out.
Do we believe that this is the Bible references to wormwood?
I think wormwood will fall into the ocean. It will be probably attendant junk that's following whatever this object is, or whatever it upsets in the Kuiper Belt or in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. I don't know. But it will be something small enough that it will collapse. It'll come into our atmosphere and hit into the sea and do a lot of damage, but it won't destroy our planet. So if the object we're talking about that perturbs the orbits of planets like Neptune and Uranus, they're big. So if something that big were to come and hit the Earth, it'd be all over. So it's not that it's wormwood, but understand that there's not only wormwood, but another star that will fall. There's two things that will fall into the Earth. So I think this will be debris, perhaps from the tail of this object or some other object in our neighborhood that we don't know about, that will cause great damage on the surface of the Earth and in the oceans. But that's only part of it. I mean, you know the prophecies speak about the sun doing something pretty weird, too.
Absolutely, the sun and the moon. We definitely want to thank Ms. Bett for her question. This has definitely put us on a new key here. Continue, Mr. Dale. This is getting very fascinating. We've got another caller from 615 from Tennessee that has a question for you. We're going to put caller 615 on the air here in just a very brief moment. Please continue with this. This is fascinating.
Well, now, you know, it's I find it really fascinating because I've been able to make these equations by analyzing data on our solar system. And when you realize that the sun it may have shells within it, like hollow voids or like gaseous voids that aren't as solid as the surface or the core, and you realize that planets are like that, except that they haven't had so much compression of their atoms that they form a nuclear reaction. So even stars form kind of the same way generally in the beginning as planets do until all the mass gets squeezed down into a tight ball and it ignites a fusion reaction or fission-fusion reaction, whatever. Our sun right now is in the worst time for sunspot activity, surface area-wise, not count-wise, but surface area-wise, that we've ever seen in recorded history. Statistically, they know that something like what we're in right now, starting for the next 2 or 3 years, that statistically this may occur every 300 years on average, but we have no record of it, you know, back beyond 300 years ago that it did happen. This is called a grand solar sunspot maximum. Normal sunspot cycles run 11 years, 11.8 years, depending on how you figure the equation. But anyway, about every 11 years, the sunspots reach a peak in number, and then they decline, and it goes back to a quiet surface of the sun. What is very important this time is that these sunspots are grouping together and forming massive dark areas on the sun, which emit huge coronal mass ejections out into the solar system, and some of them have already been directed toward us. And radiation comes out of these. It's not normal, not in the visible wavelength, but in the gamma and various other wavelengths. These sunspot areas are increasing, and if they do continue to do this over the next 2 or 3 years of this grand solar maximum, we may see a point in the sun's aging where the surface of it, where the entire surface of it facing us is almost black, coming cold. But that will only be in the visible wavelengths. It will be very dangerous to be out, even though it's partially dark, when the sun does go dark like this. The sun reverses its magnetic poles about every 22 years. It's called the Hale magnetic cycle, and it flips its north and south pole.
That's correct.
But we may be shortly. We may be flipping our poles. And if that happens, it won't happen like, oh, today it's the North Pole, tomorrow it's the South Pole magnetically. It will take several days and weeks for this transition to occur. And I would think it's already starting where the North Pole is wandering much more rapidly than it has before. When it starts to reverse, what will happen is the North and South Poles will both disappear in the middle of this and go to zero while the field inverts itself. And if it does, we'll lose the ionosphere, we'll lose the protection, the shield that we have from radiation, from gamma radiation from the sun and from various other places way out into the galaxy somewhere. That shield is what keeps us from getting fried with ultraviolet and various other radiations. We will have to live under shelter and not go out in the sun for several weeks while this happens. if it does. Now, the magnetic field is already weakening. We know that on the Earth. It is getting weaker and weaker. And at some weak point, when the sun flips its 22-year reversal, which is coming up, it may cause ours to trigger and follow suit with it because our field is so weak at that time and we're so close to the sun. So
My goodness. Now, folks, I hope everybody's listening to this. This news here is very serious as well. Both Stan, we're not trying to interrupt you. It's 4:30. We're about to run into a commercial. No matter what, it's going to happen for us. And please stay. We have callers out to Yim Yam. We have made the rankings on international radio on the internet. We've got a turnout for this show that is second for none. You're highlighted everywhere across the United States right now. We definitely thank you for being here. And please stay with us. We're going to have a really quick commercial break. We're going to get back to you and get back to questions. So please hang on. We've even got some more questions for Lady Deanna.
All right. We'll wait.
Greetings. This is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, boss!
What is it, you buffoon?
It appears there's a new show on Freedomizer Radio.
What? This can't be. Does Lord Rothschild know about it?
Nope. I wasn't going to.
Well, inform him immediately.
But, boss, there's something you should know.
What is it, you simpleton?
Well, boss, it's about the host.
Spit it out, man.
Well, boss, the host is none other than Max Casey from the Black Market Liberty Show.
This can't be. How did this happen?
Attention, all New World Order and UN troops. Spread the word. No one is to listen to the show. Do not tune in. We must stop Max Casey and keep people from listening to the Black Market Liberty Show at all costs. The New World Order is counting on it.
The Black Market Liberty Show with Max Casey, Fridays at 6:30 Central and Saturdays at 8 Central on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We're going to go ahead and take this caller from 615. Get ready, 615. Right here, you're live with Brother Stan Deo.
Okay, I agree with a lot of things that you're saying, but the research that I've been doing, it kind of conflicts with what you're saying. You're saying, like, okay, we're going to start off with chemtrails. Okay, one of the ingredients that you left out was barium nitrate, which blocks infrared light, or, you know, it blocks light, period. And, you know, they've been chemtrailing. I'm here in Tennessee. They chemtrail all the time. I'm looking at a chemtrail plane right now, you know.
Are you near a military
base? Well, that goes right along with what Stan said, blocking out the infrared and the harmful rays from the sun because of what's currently going on. Stan, what's your take on that?
Well, caller, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay, do you have a military base anywhere near you?
We have several. We have Fort Campbell. The Armory. I'm like a few miles from the Armory. We have Blackwater down here. They have FEMA camps on the Madrid Fault.
All right. What I was asking for that is this. One of the other things that I think is going on with a lot of the chemtrail spraying is that they're doing it over sensitive military areas to hide certain things from satellite detection by other people who have satellites in orbit over us, Chinese, Russians, you know, Europe, etc. And I've noticed that there are some days where I think that they are really trying to hide movements of things that could be detected by satellite. Also, a lot of our underground bases in the United States generate heat just from, you know, normal living and power supplies underground, possibly some of them nuclear, and periodically they have to vent steam out to cool the reactors. I've seen it. I've watched it here behind NORAD where we are in Colorado. And they'll make a huge, almost altocumulus cloud of water vapor, nice, clean, white stuff. But you want to mix that with other clouds so it's not obvious that what you're covering is venting or is even there, for that matter. So I think this is another part of it. That's why I ask you about military bases. Some of it, you know, military tactics and the others may be trying to cool the environment and save our food crops and the economy. But in the long run, this will not prevail against what is going to happen from the sun and various other things that are going to hit the earth.
Well, people definitely need to prepare. I believe your wife has written a book called Dare to Prepare, even. If you haven't read that book, folks, you absolutely have got to go get Dare to Prepare. It is the Bible, as far as I'm concerned, on preparation for any of these disasters. Got to go do that. Stan, plug us on that book.
Okay, well, but at the same time, that doesn't explain why they chemtrail at sunrise and sunset too, along with all day long they do it, you know. But, you know, I mean, that's probably part of it, but I believe there's more to it than chemtrailing. I believe there's more to chemtrailing than what you're saying.
Can I step in on that?
Yeah, go ahead, Diana.
I've been talking to a lot of people in New Zealand, and they're having chemtrails over there so bad that it is affecting the skin of the people to the point that they're pulling fibers out of their skin. They'll begin to itch and scratch, and the next thing you know, there are these fibrous things coming out of their skin. And this is not just one person. This is hundreds of people. And
you're talking about Morgellons. You're talking about Morgellons disease?
Yes, Morgellons. Yes,
yep.
Exactly. And they're experiencing this right underneath these chemtrails. And then it gets worse and worse and worse, it seems. The more chemtrails they see, the more people come down with it.
Well, all this stuff is poison, period. Isn't that right, Stan?
Well, it's certainly not the normal thing in our environment, no. And whenever you alter any part of the environmental system, you are going to have a blowout somewhere else. So Look, I don't know. I'm not privy to the inside workings of the people making the chemtrails. And like you, Diana, and Mars, and like our caller there from Tennessee, we can only try to get information that is reliable and hope it is as to why it's happening before we can even complain about it. But at this point, at this late date, I think our ability to stop something like that by complaining is limited, if not over.
Brother Stan, let's do a 180 real quick right here. I want to get on your wife's book, Dare to Prepare. And what is going to happen here in the United States when this great war comes? What are we likely to see? I mean, is it going to be a scenario where little old married 22-year-old Joe Blow with his little 25 caliber pop gun and his 18-month-old baby, she's crying, the baby's crying, honey, please run out and get us something to eat, you know, Walmart's closed now, all these things are happening. Is it going to be mass chaos where you're going to see riots on the streets and things of this nature over the very events that the Bible's talking about, our future, as we see it right now?
Well, Mars, I think what you're saying is correct. I mean, the four horsemen of the apocalypse is no joke. I mean, you're going to have food, a famine, disease, death, war. The United States has become so used to having whatever they want in 10 different flavors and colors whenever they want it, 24 hours a day, that when you suddenly take away their food supply, and other factors, things that they need in life, they're going to become desperate, like you say. This is why Holly wrote that book, The Dare to Prepare book, because people need to know in advance of that far enough to start preparing their family to endure this kind of a change in our society. Right now, Fox News has just said it, we are approaching the worst depression in the history of the country, and maybe the world, because of the number of people it's going to affect. Food crops are being absolutely totaled by climate changes and extreme storms, derechos and hurricanes and tornadoes and flooding. This is hitting the breadbasket. Every family needs to eat. And if they haven't put away enough food, you know, like preserved food, freeze-dried food, dehydrated food, things, seeds that they can plant later when the sun becomes normal again, you can grow stuff. If they haven't done this, if they haven't moved out of high population densities like New York City and Chicago and stuff like this, if they hadn't gotten out into the smaller density regions, they are going to probably not survive what is coming because of the things you were talking about, riots, civil disorder, whatever. It's going to force whatever government we have in charge at that time to override posse comitatus and make martial law across the United States.
Well, why is it then, Brother Stan, that we see this great urge by Obama, even in public addresses, to get people to move into the cities? That's just the opposite of what you said. Well, what's going on with that?
Well, obviously where that is heading is trying to get people into areas where they can be controlled more easily, where they cannot be independent of the system. This will fail. The United States is going to fall from being a major player in the world arena as soon as the economy fails and we have the internal civil war. They will have to reverse that situation, but by forcing or by encouraging people like he's doing to move into major cities, there are 120 major target cities in the United States for a nuclear war, and it would remove a lot of the opposition to an invading force like he supports, whether it be, you know, Islamic terrorists or Russia or whatever. It's going to remove a lot of the resistance by taking out the major population densities, which are concentrated into the cities. You need
That is horrifying, folks. Hope you heard Stan Deo just say that out of his own lips. Understand, the things that are fixing to happen are going to be terrible. Now, you also said civil war in the United States. Let's get on that for just a moment, because in Dare to Prepare and in other publications from you, we see a lot of this. And how awful is this really going to be? The government's not going to be everywhere. Obviously, they're going to be affected by the nuclear war as well. We know the FEMA camps now have level 3 decontamination gear already installed, particularly in Arkansas. And it's mind-blowing scary because we don't know what's going to happen.
We don't, and I do think, though, that we can agree on one thing, is that there will be chaos in the United States, and it'll be like the Wild West when you get out of the cities into the suburbs and less densely populated areas. You're going to need weapons to protect yourself, and as a Christian, I firmly believe you should protect your household and your family, which means to keep and bear arms or swords or whatever. Look at this. We are approaching a time when the U.S. dollar, a date almost this year, when the U.S. dollar is going to collapse, and people are going to be racing out to get gold and silver, thinking that's the answer.
Well, the Bible does clearly say men will be throwing their gold and silver out in the street. It, too, will become worthless with this new monetary system.
Absolutely.
So please explain this.
Well, people, you know, are being led by a number of companies and people on the air saying, buy gold, buy silver, that's your ultimate safety. But in the final analysis, when food is short, ammunition is short, medicine is short, you're going to want what the gold and silver buy. And they're going to be useless because people say, I don't want your gold and silver. I can't eat that. I can't use that as medicine. You know, I can't shoot that in my gun. I want guns. I want bullets. I want food and water.
So you're saying the only real precious metal is lead.
Well, you know, you laugh, Morris, but I said that to Holly yesterday. I said, well, you know, gold and silver might be precious, but lead's worth more now. And it's going to grow in value. It is. Now, understand, if people will get the things that they need ahead of time, like freeze-dried food, dehydrated food, and Holly's book about how to purify water with a little bit of dry chlorine or this or that, How to make an outdoor toilet. I mean, simple things. And how to make a little toilet to carry in your car in case you get in gridlock somewhere on a freeway. I mean, there's 69 chapters and 624 pages of very practical information that you need in what is coming. I mean, in fact, even before what is coming, it's practical information. But, you know, we can't stress enough, you need to have the things that the money can buy rather than the money, no matter what kind of money it is, gold, silver, dollars, euros, or whatever. All that's going to collapse in a heap. And, of course, the Antichrist is going to say, don't worry, I will give you a new cashless society number. Of course, I will track everything you buy and sell. I'll know where you are all the time, but don't worry about that. You know,
don't worry about that for sure. resist at all costs, folks. Resist. That's what I have to say. Resist, because taking this mark will be the ultimate death sentence, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible's concerned. We know that the times today are so dire. Situation in Syria, the fact that there are more ships within 200 miles than the Battle of Midway, something is up. It is brewing. We know it is a catalyst. If you read the book Amos chapter 1, we know that the Syrians play a key part in the Gog War and the start of it. We know that our time is very short, so get this book by Holly, read it, understand what's in it, and do these things. Continue with us, Stan. We want to know more about chaos here and what we can do to actually prepare.
Well, Mars, let me ask you one thing first. In your opinion, what is the most important thing for an individual to do in the face of what is coming?
Well, as far as having, I would say knowledge. I would pick that over water, a knife, or firearms, or anything else. Having the knowledge to be able to survive would be the very key thing in my book.
And what happens if you don't survive? What is important then?
Well, if you don't survive, you know, they say try to think outside the box. Once you're inside the box, it's a little too late for outside-the-box thinking.
You know, Mars, we have two books here that are our leading books in our stable of books. One is Holly's book, Dare to Prepare, to physically prepare yourself. And the other book is mine, The Cosmic Conspiracy, to spiritually prepare yourself. Because we cannot tell you who will survive what is coming. Eventually, all of us must die and go into a new body or into judgment. So I think that the most important thing, in my opinion, would be that we have a close personal relationship with Yeshua, Jesus, you know, that we are saved and in his team, no matter whether we live or die on earth. That's the most important thing. Beyond that, the rest of it.
I agree with that one.
Thank you.
Dan, I know you have more questions. Go ahead and shoot one off for Stan.
No.
4:47, we're running till 5, and man, if this show could go on all day, I would just love Stan to be here, but unfortunately, we do play out at 5 o'clock. So go ahead and shoot your question.
I've got a man that's been holding for almost an hour with a question for Stan.
All right, go ahead and bring him on.
All right, sir, you're live.
Hello.
Hello. You had a question for Stan.
Caller 913, go ahead. You are live on the air with Stan Deo on the Prophecies News.
913?
Yes.
Is that me?
I believe that's you.
Well, I didn't have a question. I just wanted to listen to the show.
okay. Well, you're doing a good job, and we definitely appreciate you being here.
I apologize.
But, Brother Stan, when we are talking about the Civil War in the United States and that kind of chaos, do you honestly believe that the great number of dead that we will see in this war, how much of a factor in the chaos of the Civil War here, how many people do you think we will see as just casualties here?
Well, I would say we'll see, you know, 3/4 or more of the population get it.
Holy mackerel. Hope everybody heard that.
Well, you know, I believe that we are part of the Babylon of the last days spoken of, and it will be destroyed in 1 hour. It will burn. And even Dimitri Dudeman said that in his visions from the Lord that America burns. And that's probably nuclear burning. It could be fires started from the sun causing electric, you know, like a CMEs from the sun causing fires to start around power lines where they short to ground and catch dry stuff on fire. But that takes a long time. I really do believe we'll have a nuclear destruction of the major cities of America, which will, of course, kill a lot of other people secondarily by radiation and resource shortages like fresh water and food and energy and stuff to keep
that
warm.
That's just incredible. And you know, we are already seeing food shortages. Mississippi River is running dry, folks, like Old Hank said. Preacher Man says it's the end of days.
Well, there's an 11-mile stretch that they won't let people pass on the Mississippi at the moment because it's ground. I mean, it's just too low.
Well, we see how the sanctions that the United States have pressed against other countries, particularly Iran. We've got reports about many, many, many tankers full of Iranian oil floating around the Mediterranean aimlessly because they have nowhere to sell it. We see so many things that are going on that are contributing to the global chaos. I'm in the state of mind personally. You said that this may be over a year. We're definitely not fear-mongering here on the show. We don't do that. We try to inform the best we can. But what gives you this year away date?
Well, I wouldn't know that it's all a year away. I'm just saying toward the end of this year.
Toward the end of this year. Okay.
Yeah.
Folks, you better be prepared.
Well, you know, look, we try to keep, a reasonable balance of what we're hearing and what we're doing ourselves here at the house. We prepare for the very worst as best we can, but we pray for the very best every day. And those two things are, you know, your armor for the day. And, you know, whether we're right about it being before the election, after the election, or next year, it's imminent in, you know, planetary terms. It's imminent, and people need to start preparing. Even if you only prepare 2 days ahead of it, you are prepared better than you were without it. I mean, you'll have.
Oh, absolutely, Brother Stan. I've got a very good caller, a good friend of mine here, doesn't live that far away from me. He has a dire question comments for you. I'm going to stick him on while we've got about 9 minutes left.
All right.
870, River Bottoms, go ahead. Your question for Stan Dale.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Stan, it's a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
I would like to ask a personal question. I think Mars can reflect on that. Do you think at this time, at this late stage in the game, that the individual himself is the one that needs to be prepared for whatever is coming? I can go back to 2000. I was one of those that prepared for that supposedly Y2K thing that was coming around the bend.
Right.
That right there kind of woke me up anyway, and I've been preparing since then. I've always been in a prepared mode, and it seems like the friends, friends and family, anywhere I go, it seems like everybody's in another state of mind. They don't think the way I do, and you try to change them, and they look at you, and they say, oh, yeah, here we go again, another conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Do you feel at this time it is probably best for the individual? I know that's not the Christian way to think. You're supposed to help your fellow man, but when the times get tough, it's going to be hard. I do believe the individual himself is going to have to be the one to be prepared. You're going to have to forget the others for trying to bring people over, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, go ahead and run with that, Stan. We've got very short time left.
Okay.
I'd love to hear what you say about that.
I agree with what you're saying, and we encourage people who are preparing to get certain types of freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods in small quantity packages that are well preserved, so they can use it as bartering material, but not to tell their neighbors or friends that about it. Stop beating over the head about it now. Then, you know, the time for that's over. Couple years ago, we had a dinner party with some of our neighbors, and they all know us, and that we write books and stuff, and have, you know, this opinion, you know, conspiracy, and all that stuff, and they tolerate us. And one of the guys came up to me at that dinner meeting, and he said, "Hey, look, we know that you're prepared, so we're not too worried about it because we can come over and get something from you." And I said to him, "You know, I'd hate to shoot a neighbor." And he kind of went, "Oh."
Yeah.
He laughed, and then he kind of sobered up and said, "Oh, I see what you mean." But in spite of that, we still do put aside things for people like that for a short time to help them go find food, but we'll feed them for a short time. They don't know that. We put it there as a buffer so that we don't have to shoot them. But we are prepared to do that. And I say that hoping I never have to do that, that the good Lord takes us out of here before then. But if not, we are prepared to do that.
Well, there are so many ideological and moral and litigation ramifications. Who knows? You know, if you wind up with 50 bodies in your yard because you're trying to keep people away from your food storage supply, I'm not saying that this is a reasonable scenario. I hope this never, ever happens in our nation, by the way, folks. I am a peace-loving peacemonger, but should those things happen, you know, the litigation deals, maybe when this is all over, they're going to come back and say, "Well, look, you did this and you did that, and that's another reason for you to be red. Eat the red pill."
Yeah. You know, look, I don't think we're going to have a civilization or a government or, you know, a society after this hits America that will have the authority to come back and say that. We're going to be
wow.
Like tribal laws here. They're going to be tribes of people.
That is amazing. And, you know, you see all these shows on television, all these zombie shows and things that have recently sprung up. When you go look on the credits, you see nothing but former and current FBI agents as people that are giving them these ideas for their script writers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, you know as well as I do that we've never seen anything like what's about to come down on the planet Earth as far as chaos among the people. It's just unbelievable time we live in.
It most certainly is. Lady Deanna, I'm going to give you the last word. I've not tried to ignore you today, but I'm telling you, I could not have done this show today without you. You have absolutely just been Johnny on the spot. I know this place has been jumping like flies on a cow. And, Brother Deo, I am absolutely in love with the fact that you came here. I am definitely hoping that you'll come back on our show many times. We're definitely going
to
invite you.
Well, thank you.
This has been a great honor.
Well, my pleasure, and we try to help wherever we can. That's all we're doing.
Well, you've definitely helped us considerably, and we love you for it. Lady Deanna, you've got the final word, the final question. Go ahead and lay it on us.
I don't have a question. I want to apologize to the people we did not get to that had a question. Stan, you got to come back. And you got to come back pretty soon because we got people on here that had questions that we couldn't get to.
Well, you know, if you can talk to those people, Diana, if you can talk to those people and have them and write down some of the things they're wanting to know, well, maybe we can do a show and I can get those questions from you beforehand and, you know, really be prepared to answer a lot more questions.
Oh,
yeah,
I love it. And I definitely hope you will be back with us.
Sure.
Brother Stan, you are absolutely amazing. We have been enthralled with all your great knowledge and perspective.
We'll put on the Watcher Society page.
Yes, I'm going to attempt to get Brother Stan to join us there on the Watcher Society there on Facebook. I don't know if he Facebooks or not, and it would be a great honor to invite him there. The show is nearly over, folks. I've got the final warning. I want to thank absolutely every single person that has came out today. We have had a absolutely kick-butt show. Brother Stan, thank you.
Thank you for inviting.
And, ladies and gentlemen, this pretty much concludes our show today. Thank you very, very much for showing up. This has been the Watchers Prophecy Podcast.